SBS Radio.
Hi, Shane.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. And let's start with the main headlines of this week's edition. And this time it's Josh Burns with his maiden speech at the Parliament House on Monday.
Yes, so we have Josh Burns, the Labor member, the new Labor member for McNamara in Melbourne. He had his maiden speech in Parliament on Monday, where his main message was that Australians need to take pride in their country to help eradicate anti-Semitism and also other forms of hatred and racism. Addressing fellow MPs, Mr. Burns said his grandmother, Gerda Cohen, who was forced to leave her homeland when she was just 4 years old because of the Nazis, when she arrived in Australia, he said she arrived as an asylum seeker. And that her experience of persecution and prejudice etched him, as he grew up, into a fierce opposer of all forms of bigotry. He said, in more recent times in Australia, we've seen the rise of something new, a sinister element that argues that this nation belongs only to a core few, and that by virtue of nothing more than background, birthplace, race or religion, others must reside on the outer. He said only months before the federal election, in the heart of his own electorate, McNamara, we saw, he said, that racist underbelly march at St Kilda Beach. He said, of course, it's not the only instance with a rise in bigotry seen all over the world. The question, he said, for us in this place, Parliament of Australia, is how can we fight what feels like a rising tide? He said the answer is for Australians to take pride in Australia. He said while continuing to be persistent in our defence against discrimination and ignorance, it is up to all of us in this place to ensure Australia is a country that celebrates our differences and our diversity. He said it's up to all of us to say strongly and without fear that no matter your gender, sexuality, race or religion, here in Australia, you are one of us. The newly elected MP also spoke about his inspiration for a life in politics. He mentioned his grandfather, Jerry Burns, who grew up in the poorest suburbs of London and who lived in Israel before moving to Australia. He said it was his grandfather who died on the same day as the 2013 federal election, when Burns was campaigning for his predecessor, Michael Danby. It was then who he urged his grandson to run for Parliament. He said, my grandfather taught me to work hard, but he also taught me to look after hardworking people. He came to this country with very little, and it was this great nation that gifted him not only a good life, but the possibility of building a better life for his children too. So it's nice in these situations where politicians, especially Jewish politicians, reveal these what inspires them and motivates them. And in this case, his grandparents who and his grandmother especially, who was forced to leave Europe. And also this week, more quickly, the new MP for Wentworth, which is the largest Jewish population in any federal seat in Australia, it's in Sydney's eastern suburbs, the new MP, Dave Sharma, also had his maiden speech, and he talked specifically about his time and what he learnt while he was Australia's ambassador to Israel for many years. And he said if that taught him anything, it's how valuable a thriving technology sector can be for the dynamism and health of the rest of the Australian economy. And he also had has a deep appreciation and admiration for the Jewish people in his electorate from the time he spent in Israel as ambassador.
Yeah, and if I recall correctly, David Sharma was also the person who convinced Prime Minister Scott Morrison to move the Australian embassy to Jerusalem.
Yeah, it was his idea. It was mentioned in the by-election first, which he didn't win. But then he did win the federal election on his second attempt. But yes, that was his idea that he presented, and Scott Morrison took it up from there.
Moving on to the next story, and a topic that unfortunately has been making headlines for the last few weeks, anti-Semitism.
Yeah, so this is a series of stories, and it's unfortunately on something that doesn't go away and not likely to go away, but anti-Semitism. To start with, Prime Minister Scott Morrison delivered a stinging rebuke of anti-Semitism just last week after his treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, was faced with renewed questions about his eligibility to sit in Parliament. The uproar began when Melbourne lawyer and ALP member Trevor Poulton, who is actually the author of a fiction novel called The Holocaust Denier, he led a push to refer Josh Frydenberg to the High Court, claiming that Mr. Frydenberg is a Hungarian citizen by descent. Frydenberg's mother, of course, Erika Strauss, was born in Hungary in 1943, and upon arriving in Australia as a child, her nationality was listed as stateless. Frydenberg, the federal MP for Kooyong, maintains that he is not in breach of Section 44 of the Constitution, which prevents dual citizens from serving in Parliament. And Frydenberg insisted the issues were dealt with comprehensively through the last Parliament. He added, "I have no time for people who deny what is the most tragic event in world history." Defending his deputy and treasurer, Scott Morrison said it was time to draw a line on anti-Semitism. He said the scourge of anti-Semitic graffiti that we've seen in Melbourne just this year is absolutely sickening and disgraceful. And for a Holocaust denier to seek to progress that agenda by pretending to have some sort of constitutional purity on Josh Frydenberg, Morrison said, "I'm just going to call it out for what it is." And he said, "I think most Australians would share that view, and that anti-Semitism has no place in this country." He also added that he also saw what was happening with the graffiti against his colleague in Sydney, Julian Lisa, before the federal election, and he was referring to some anti-Semitic graffiti that was drawn on Julian Lisa's campaign posters. So Scott Morrison called that sickening too. He also said that Poulton shouldn't be in the Labor Party for a start. "How's he even in there?" Scott Morrison said. "I've got no idea, because it's abhorrent what he says to the way of thinking for the rest of the country." And Morrison's comments followed a call by federal Labor MP Josh Burns, who we mentioned before in the previous story. Josh Burns also wants to see Poulton expelled from his party. Burns said there is no place in the ALP for Holocaust deniers, and he'll be pursuing Paulson under the Victorian branch rules of the Labor Party to see if he's in breach of them. Poulton, on his part, has denied he is a Holocaust denier. And moving on, also anti-Semitism has been really concerning for radio broadcaster on 3AW, Neil Mitchell, who delivered a passionate plea to Australians over the airways last week to reject anti-Semitism whenever they see it. Mitchell noted that Josh Frydenberg was being, quote, targeted because he is Jewish. And Mitchell then turned to the recent incidents of anti-Semitic graffiti in Melbourne and said he could no longer be silent on the issue. He said, "I'm not Jewish, but anti-Semitism revolts me and disturbs me." He said many of his friends believe anti-Semitism within Australia is resurgent. He said the Prime Minister also pointed to a number of anti-Semitic graffiti attacks that have happened in Australia, and "I was trying to ignore all these things because I wanted to refuse to give them oxygen, but now I can't." He said the best way to stop it is to recognise it and reject it loudly, particularly for non-Jews to do this and to be heard. He also said that any councils, as soon as they see any anti-Semitic graffiti, must remove it as soon as possible so that they don't give the vandals the satisfaction of seeing it, even for an hour, he said. And just to finish off on this topic, listeners might be aware that in Melbourne, in Chadstone, there was a cafe that we've mentioned a few times that has been attacked not once but twice with anti-Semitic graffiti in the last month, Eliza's Place Cafe. And we mentioned that some AFL stars, Riley Collier-Dawkins and some of his teammates, visited the cafe and its owner, Eliza, to offer support and to help remove some of the graffiti. Of course, the owners of the cafe is Russian-born Eliza Shuvali, who is actually the Jewish granddaughter of Holocaust survivors. So this week, in a further development of support, there's a group called Yids on Wheels who go on motorbike trips together, Jewish group, and their president, Sam Blumenstein, collected about 30 of his members, and they visited the cafe last week to give moral support and showing solidarity with them. We asked Sam Blumenstein, why is the group and so many agreed to do this? And he said when he saw what was taking place there, he felt so disgusted that this is happening in a city like Melbourne. And he said, we didn't go there to act like big Hell's Angels or anything like that. He said we went there as a group to support them. He said it's easy to talk a lot, but I just wanted our guys and girls to go there, show them that we know what they went through and that anti-Semitic vandals need to be shown that their attacks won't make a difference. All these attacks will do is make us resolve to be stronger. Police are still investigating the recent spates of these anti-Semitic vandalism attacks across Melbourne, and a Victoria government spokesman told the Jewish News last week, "We stand by our Jewish community in condemning these acts and urge that those responsible are caught and punished under the law."
Let's hope so. Shane, any good news to finish off with?
Yes. In Sydney, there's maybe not many people know about it, but it's been there for many, many years. The Jewish Folk Center Hall, which is in Woollahra, just opposite Bondi Junction Station. It's quite an old building. It's seen its better days. But thanks to a new partnership between the Jewish Folk Center Board and Jewish Care, which is not too far, just around the corner, there's been a major upgrade of the hall, plus a fully equipped commercial-sized kitchen. So this was opened last week on July 18 by Vaucluse MP Gabrielle Upton, who congratulated both organizations for collaborating so well. She said, the best ideas come from the community, not from government. And she said both organizations have made for such a powerful combination that she thinks us politicians can go back to Parliament and take away some lessons from this on how this project was executed. She said it was done perfectly. Of course, the Jewish Folk Center is also called HaModon HaIsraeli. It has about 200 members who hold regular events. Most of the members are Hebrew speakers or Yiddish speakers or Israelis who have moved to Australia. And Jewish Care, on its part, they're moving some of their programs for people with disabilities into the hall at the Jewish Folk Center, where now they'll be able to put in the Our Kitchen Hands program for 3 days a week there and a J-Day activities program for 1 day a week there. The Jewish Folk Center now will be able to also have larger and more regular events on weekends and on weeknights. So this building, which 70 years ago was bought by a small group of Jewish refugees using funds from the Conference on Jewish Material Claims Against Germany, will now live on, and the building will actually be bigger and better than ever before.
Shane Desiatnik from the Australian Jewish News. Thanks, and speak to you next week.
Thanks. My pleasure, Amit.
Hear more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.